Hi, this is Daniel Garb of the Movies for CulturalMoney.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Yearning for some CanCon? Well, mark your calendars. Next Wednesday is Canada Film Day with over 1,700 screenings and discussions about great Canadian movies across this country. In Toronto alone, directors and actors like Sophie Deraspe, Helen Lee, Eric Peterson, and Cody Lightning will be there at the screenings. There's also a town hall discussion of Canadian culture with Don McKellar, Mary Walsh, and Elmaya Tailfeathers. Canadian films suddenly feel acutely relevant. Go to canfilmday.ca for showtimes. But this week, I'm looking at three new movies from south of the border. They're Navy SEALs in Iraq attacked by armed combatants, the U.S. president locked in hand-to-hand combat with international terrorists, and a single mom terrorized by her cell phone. G20, directed by Patricia Riggin. It's a resort hotel in Cape Town, South Africa, and U.S. President Danielle Sutton, played by Viola Davis, America's first black female POTUS, is preparing for the G20 summit. When she's not practicing martial arts with her Secret Service bodyguard Manny, played by Ramon Rodriguez, she's hanging with her family, loving husband Derek, and her two teenage kids. Serena, the older one, played by Marsai Martin, is an accomplished hacker who can sneak undetected out of any building, even the White House. President Sutton is decked out in an elegant red evening gown, complete with cape, for the all-important photo op. But something is rotten in the city of Cape Town. There's a conspiracy at work, led by evil Aussie mercenaries. And now, armed soldiers are rounding up the presidents and their families. If they can pull this off, they'll have trillions in untraceable cryptocurrency, and the leaders of the most powerful nations in the world will be groveling at their feet. But some of the leaders have escaped their clutches. Sutton, the elderly Korean First Lady, the pompous British PM, and a few others have formed an impromptu posse. Can this ragtag group of heads of state beat the muscle-bound mercenaries in a contest of physical strength and mental acuity? Or is this world doomed? G20 is a ludicrous but fun action thriller told from the point of view of a female superhero-type president. This is not a unique movie theme. Many Americans do love venerating their presidents. Think Harrison Ford in Air Force One, or even Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. But G20 is especially silly. The villains carry the Bitcoin wallet with all the money as if it's a physical object, a MacGuffin they have to possess. And they force the leaders to read a nonsense speech, quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog, so they can make a deep fake video as if world leaders haven't made hundreds of speeches already. A six-year-old president who's also an Iraq war veteran hero and a jiu-jitsu champ? Sure, why not? It's just a movie. The main story is a hackneyed farce, but Viola Davis is a joy to watch. Not a masterpiece, but a watchable TV movie. Drop, directed by Christopher Landon. Violet, played by Megan Fahey, is dressed up but nervous. She's on her first date since her husband died 5 years ago. A single mom and an online therapist, she likes working from home so she can keep a close eye on Toby, her adorable autistic son. But her wacky sister Jen, played by Violet Bean, insists she step out of her shell and have some fun. Jen's babysitting Toby tonight to give her all the time she needs. And if there's no chemistry with the guy she's meeting, she can always just leave. So here she is in a fancy restaurant with a dramatic view of the city. In walks Henry, played by Brandon Sklenar, her first date, and instant attraction. Henry's rugged, handsome, and friendly, and has a steady job at the city hall. He likes her looks, her smarts, and her honesty. They go to their table and start the date, but this electricity between them is interrupted by anonymous memes and texts that keep appearing on Violet's phone, apparently dropped by someone somewhere in the restaurant. The messages become increasingly threatening, along with a warning. If you tell anything to Henry, the guy she just met, we'll kill your son, Toby. Followed by live security footage from her home with a masked man roving her halls with a gun. Whoever it is has control of all her security cameras and all the cell phones in the restaurant. They can see and hear everything she does. They want her to commit a crime in plain sight, and there's no way to stop them. Can Violet save her son and outsmart this invisible villain whilst continuing the date from hell? Drop is a classic suspense thriller that plays on our fear of technology and surveillance. Afterwards, I realized there are some major plot holes or impossibilities, but they don't stand out while you're watching it. It's a tightly budgeted Blumhouse movie, which means the actors are likable but not A-list, and everything takes place in two tight locations, her home and the restaurant. It uses psychological fear instead of pyrotechnics. And it works. This is a good traditional suspense thriller, the kind where the tension keeps growing and never lets up. I like this one. Warfare, co-written and directed by Alex Garland and Ray Mendoza. It's November 2006 in Ramadi, a city in central Iraq between Baghdad and Fallujah. Ray, played by DeFaro Unitai, is leading a squad of Navy SEALs on a mission. They commandeer two houses, knocking down walls and pushing the families into their bedrooms. They're setting up for a long wait until a Marine unit arrives with tanks to evacuate them. But armed enemy soldiers are setting up on nearby roofs, taking pot shots at them. And when the tank finally arrives, the SEALs are ambushed by an IED buried in the road. The Iraqi soldiers they're working with are killed, while some of their own are badly injured. They have to pull the bodies back into the house and try to save who they can. Can they fight off the insurgents till the Marines arrive, and who will survive this tense battle? Warfare is a hyper-realistic depiction of an actual battle in Iraq as remembered by the U.S. soldiers who were there, including writer-director Ray Mendoza himself. It's not like your usual war movie. The film favors accuracy over character building or backstories, and the characters speak in military jargon full of frogmen, meaning Navy SEALs, bushmen, an aerial unit overhead, and many more words I couldn't catch. The cast is excellent, especially Unitai, Will Poulter, and Cosmo Jarvis. It really feels like you're there witnessing actual soldiers showing bravery, camaraderie, and brotherhood. What the movie doesn't deal with, though, is why. Why are they there at all? What did that particular mission accomplish? Where are all the weapons of mass destruction, the supposed reason for this war? Thousands of U.S. soldiers were killed there, and many times more tragically killed themselves afterwards. And an estimated 1 million civilians in Afghanistan, Pakistan, and the Middle East were wiped out. Millions more displaced, and the whole region plunged into instability till today. And for what? I'm glad I saw Warfare. It's a rare chance to experience a non-jingoistic, up-close-and-personal look at U.S. soldiers on the front line. But don't go to this docudrama expecting to be entertained, because fun, it ain't. G20 is now screening on Amazon Prime, and Warfare and Drop both open this weekend in Toronto. Check your local listings. This is Daniel Garb of the Movies each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and my website, culturalmining.com.